You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. Coming up on our summer music series set list, we'll go behind the music with the Milwaukee rock band Midnight Reruns.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news of Wisconsin News Roundup.
A recent report shows Wisconsin continued to lag in job creation in 2015. We also learned this week that a state billionaire paid no income tax from 2012 to 2014. And state Democrats made some changes during their convention last weekend and are looking ahead to 2020.
Robert Menser joins us now for the latest on those stories. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
So the latest jobs report came out this week. How does Wisconsin look compared to the rest of the country?
So not great. This is the sort of headline is Wisconsin is 36th in the nation for private sector job growth. The state created a little under 37,000 jobs last year, which is not terrific. This sort of mirrors a longer-term trend that, in general, Wisconsin has, like everywhere, the United States economy is growing, and Wisconsin's economy is growing too. Unemployment is pretty low, but the growth just isn't there in Wisconsin's economy. This is for 2015. This is like sort of the what is considered the gold standard. Governor Walker has referred to it as the gold standard in measuring these things, and it lags a bit. But it's a big giant survey of employers, and this really gives us a good picture of the economy in 2015.
So you mentioned a bit of a silver lining: unemployment numbers looking a little better. Unemployment's down, and also annual wage growth looking good. So how has the governor responded to this?
Yeah, so that's a good, that's a legitimate silver lining for sure. The fact is that our wage growth is higher than the national average by a fair amount. The national average for wage growth was 2.4%, and this found that wages in Wisconsin grew 3.1%, and the unemployment rate is fairly low. These are the types of numbers that Governor Walker wants to emphasize. Walker also likes to talk about the labor force participation rate, meaning how many, what share of Wisconsin's population is in the workforce, and it's higher than the national average. That is true. This report found the same. The only caveat to that is that that's sort of always been true in Wisconsin. That was true before the Great Recession. It was true during. It was true today. So it's not clear that measures a lot about sort of the forward momentum of the economy, but it is true. A lot of people work here.
Going to move on and talk about another story out this week about a Wisconsin billionaire in Beloit who paid no income tax between the years 2012 and 2014, evidently one of the richest women in the country. What can you tell us about that story?
Yeah, Diane Hendricks. She is a major conservative donor and a sort of a favorite target for Wisconsin liberals. She is worth about $5 billion, is the owner of a large roofing supply company, and she lives in Beloit. And she likes to spend money on politics. So she's been a big donor to Governor Walker's gubernatorial campaigns, as well as his presidential campaign. And she is, right now, the vice chairwoman of the Trump Victory Fundraising Committee in Wisconsin. But what she does not like to do is pay state income taxes, apparently. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel found records or obtained some records showing that she paid zero in state income taxes for 2012, 2013, and 2014. Also paid zero in 2010, though 2011 somehow slipped through and she paid some state income taxes that year. So as you can imagine, yeah, she's a rich lady, and people don't like the idea that that rich people have sort of complicated taxes and don't have to pay the same share as you and me.
And what if her spokespeople had to say about that, about why that might be?
Well, so the truth is, rich people do have complicated taxes, and there are a lot of ways. It's actually not that unusual. There are a lot of ways that that through sort of complex accounting, they can take deductions or hold over losses. Like if her company lost a lot of money during the Great Recession, it's possible that that she's held over some income losses to sort of against current taxes. So I mean, it's incredibly complex. And then the other big point that her spokespeople make, or her spokesman made, is that they say that she paid like $7 million or $7.6 million in taxes in 2015. However, she got an extension on that. That wasn't verified, and so we don't know that to be the case. But this is apparently a thing that happens. You sort of pay, you know, she paid nothing, and now she's going to pay a whole bunch. So who knows?
As you said, she's very active in politics, and she has donated to Scott Walker. I know he's been asked, how do you think this looks to middle-class taxpayers? What has the governor had to say? Has he responded?
Yeah, I think he's not super enthusiastic about responding to this. There was a line in the story that a reporter said, "You don't want to touch this with a ten foot pole," and he said, "You got it." So I think that there's no question about it that it's not a politically advantageous discussion. But it's just a fact that she's a important person in Republican fundraising circles.
Interesting to see a couple Wisconsin women on this list of wealthy women in the country. Also, Epic's Judy Faulkner on this list as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Robert Menser right now. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau, and it's the Wisconsin News Roundup. And Robert, the state Democrats held their convention in Brown County last weekend with eyes toward the future. What did Democrats decide to do about superdelegates? This was an issue on the table.
Yeah, so they want to do away with them. They voted to be against the use of superdelegates in the 2020 election. Wisconsin, of course, voted for Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary, and this has been a favorite argument among a lot of Sanders supporters, that superdelegates are undemocratic, that it's a secretive system, privileges party insiders over people who actually vote in primaries. And all those things are absolutely true. That is exactly what they do. Now, you know, it's a political party. Political parties get to choose their own nominees through the rules that they set, and it's a fairly new concept, at least late 20th century concept, that that party nominees should be decided by a popular vote. But this is what we have now, and I think intuitively it makes sense, right? It feels like if the people vote, then that should be the nominee. So I would expect that Wisconsin will not be the only state to make such a recommendation, and it's entirely possible that the Democrats will actually make a change to the system.
So if that were to happen, do you know when that change might go into effect?
Well, I mean, it's not going to be this year, right? So I think that the goal would be to have a change for the presidential nominating contest in 2020, which seems like an impossibly long time away, right? But I guess these things come around.
And Rob, as we wrap up, the Democrats leadership are also looking at 2020 for possibly Democrats to take back the state legislature. Just briefly, what would the plan be there?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, the main thing to notice is that Democrats seem really fired up about chances for this year's cycle. But the thing is, there's such a deficit. Democrats are solidly in the minority in the state. And so I think they see it as a process of a couple cycles before they would reasonably be able to retake a majority in the legislature.
Rob, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Editor Robert Menser joining us to recap the biggest news stories from around the state this week.